Hey, everybody, welcome to this week's edition of UGA Sports Live. Here with some pro day reaction, a little bit of spring practice, and no riding the bull seat. So that's the best part, right? Jake Roos here leading the ship today. We got Dane Young on, as always, Coach Donnan, and riding the bull seat's probably out spending our travel budget in Vegas somewhere. So shout out to him. Shout out to all our sponsors as well. Aaron Overhead Doors, Athens Ford, Academia, Your Pie, Classic City Eats, DR Construction and Maintenance. I'm sure I missed somebody in there. I'm sorry if I did, but Dane will hit him later in the show. I promise. You know, it's kind of a loaded week, guys. One that we didn't have last year for sure. At this time last year, everything was getting real weird real fast. So it's nice to be able to kind of get back to normal a little bit. Spring practice kicks off, but I think the big storyline today, and one of the reasons that we did this show late today, is Georgia's Pro Day. It was a big showing for Georgia. Obviously, a lot of guys taking part and a lot of NFL scouts out there. Coach, I guess let's throw it to you first off. You know, just kind of your reactions to, you know, the amount of pro talent, you know, pro squads that you saw out there. I think that this was the best one under Kirby Smart in terms of talent.
Yeah, for sure. I just felt like the one thing that was overwhelming to me watching, you know, everything going on today on SEC Network was a source of pride that Kirby had walking around looking at his players. These are always your players, but these are guys that he actually recruited himself with the staff. And to see that guy start out like an Eric Stokes that, you know, we've heard about people not recruiting him and all that, but to have this kind of maximum attention and have your whole pro day, you know, 2 hours on SEC Network, they don't have a program unless it's a really good one, spend that much time on it. And then the NFL Network, I just happened to be over by the office yesterday going by the training room, and the NFL Network was set up in a lounge interviewing the players, which I'm sure they're going to be doing one-on-one interviews with them tonight on the NFL Network. So that, coupled with the fact 5 years ago today, our kids would have been outside trying to do this in the rain. There'd probably been two or three players that are really, and there might've been three scouts here, because, you know, the general managers, the head coaches, the best scouts, they're going to come where the primo stuff is. And that's where Georgia had. And the overwhelming thing, again, was the fact we got five defensive backs that are going to make a pro squad that were working out in tandem today with that New York Giants running back, I mean, defensive back coach. So I thought it was just a good day for Georgia exposure-wise, kind of melancholy for everybody seeing these guys leave, but just so fired up. I mean, I had a chance to see Tyson Campbell just for a second yesterday and speak to him, and he was talking about how glad he was to be going to the pros, but how much he missed being around Georgia, missed being here, seeing everybody, and just being around the guys. So it was just a big day for Georgia.
Yeah,
With those defensive backs, Kirby Smart was extra proud. You know, his chest was puffed out a bit, and he was. You said it, Coach. You could see the Terry College of Business in him, because he was marketing Georgia anytime he got a chance to in front of those cameras.
Well, and I thought too that Mark Webb did a great job, I think, delivering one of the lines of the day when he said honestly, I think every guy gave some consideration to coming back and playing at this university for an extra year. He said, this is the greatest university in the world. And, you know, I think that when you hear things like that, when you're getting those ringing endorsements, you know, in these moments like this, where you've got kind of all eyes on the nation on you, I think that that's just incredibly impactful. And like you said, Coach, a couple years ago, you were talking about a couple of scouts, maybe one, two guys out there. I thought for Georgia to put out the field that they did today, have the number of guys that they did, have the number of pro guys in that they did, really speaks to where this program, how far this program has come under Kirby Smart. And I think that also you better believe that recruits are going to be taking notice.
Let's go through these guys and their just quick hitting reaction. I'll say who they are, Coach, if you'll go after me, and then Jake follow up with any further comments, and we'll rattle through these. So Azeez Ojulari is expected to be the top draft pick from Georgia. He had 28 reps at the bench press and ran a 4.60. But Coach, I think the main thing, he looked like an Adonis. He has done some work on his body since the season ended.
Yeah, the one thing that was overwhelming about Aziz was his speed in the 40 and also his wingspan. He had an unbelievable wingspan. I don't know what the exact that – you can look it up. Jim Nagy on the Twitter had what his wingspan, his hand, all that. They look at that stuff. And his height was not overwhelming, 6'2", but 250. But his speed off the ball and his ability to rush the passer and just his personality, I think he made a big jump. He's definitely a first-round pick without question based on his tape, first of all, and then the way he showed up today and the way he worked out. He's a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, the great George Foster, I thought, really did a great job on Twitter of pointing out. He said, listen, every time this kid has had a chance in the last 2 years to make himself some money, he's shown up and he's done it. And you can't deny that about Ojulari. Closing out games, making big plays, being disruptive in the backfield. And you got to always be a little bit nervous about how it all comes together. I think on pro day, you know, can you perform to that level? Can you have that day that you want? I think he certainly had the day that he wanted. That 4.6, probably everything everybody needed to see. And coach, I think on your wingspan there, 82 and 4.8. So 82 and a half, I guess is what that is.
Long arms, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give a shout-out to Roddy because he'll never hear it. I don't want to say anything about him that he could hear. But I remember when we were doing a Sugar Bowl preview, and he was down there hanging out on Bourbon Street, and he was telling me that on our show that Aziz Ojulari was going to be a factor in the Texas Sugar Bowl. I said, what are you talking about? He hardly even played. He said, I'm just hearing that this guy's really showing out in practice and has come off that surgery and has really had a chance. And he's going to come out there and do the job. And, hey, he was right. I mean, occasionally, you know, he'll get something right. We can't give him. But he was definitely – you think about 2.5 years ago, this guy wasn't any household name around UGA. But I think the bottom line, the last thing I want to say about this kid is – he's the kind of guy that every time you talk about Georgia in any phase, form, or fashion, he's the kind of guy you want repping your program. And he's just class all the way.
Absolutely. You know, one of the great, you know, backstories of a kid, Ojulari, you know, parents from Africa, you know, a guy who came over here and just was a staple in that Marietta program. I remember people making those Lorenzo Carter comparisons when he was coming out of high school. I said, you know, not quite as big as Lorenzo, not quite as long. I mean, he may have that wingspan that's similar, but not quite as tall, but a guy who, you know, has been as productive as any defender Georgia's had under Kirby Smart, in my opinion.
Another one of those kind of guys, Eric Stokes, 38.5-inch vertical, 4.2840. Coach, he can fly.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the natural speed, and he's got the coverability. You know, he doesn't give it up. He doesn't give up many plays. He's got good man-to-man technique, pretty physical kid. Well, he looked good, you know, when he, you know, several of those guys took their shirts off just to let everybody see what they look like, I guess, on the guns, but. I mean, if you were just talking about what you want for a defensive back in the pros, I mean, he's got it all. He's got the makeup ability if they get deep to cut, you know, cut down the gap if a guy beats him. He mentioned it, and it's one thing that is very difficult to develop hands if you're not a natural receiver. And Mark Webb's got that advantage playing receiver. But he didn't look as good on the ball drills, but I'd whole lot rather have a guy could run like him that doesn't have quite the ball skills than a guy that can catch everything but can't cover anybody. So he's gonna get high consideration for first round.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about Eric, one of the things that really stood out to me, you look at these, you know, all these metrics that you can find on the internet. Next Gen Stats over on Twitter, powered by Amazon, one of the NFL, one of the things the NFL uses, graded everything out for him. An athleticism score, 99 out of 100, an overall draft grade of 96. I mean, you're talking about a guy who Chase Young was, I think he scored 97 in the same metric last year. You know, that kind of athleticism, that kind of impact maker. Obviously, like you said, Coach, we know the story about Eric Stokes. I've told it a million times, thought the kid would get run off from the team. Was just one of the worst defenders I've ever seen coming out of high school into that first fall practice. But what a career he's had for Georgia. What a guy who, you know, represents the development, I think, of the staff in Athens. I think that a true testament to what those guys can do with some raw ability.
Champ Bailey, vertical 41 and ran 4.3. So, I mean, he's 38.5, 4.28. So, I don't know that he has the height or the, you know, quite the quickness that Champ had, but he definitely got cover skills.
Yeah, Champ did all right for himself. I think that's safe to say.
I want to ask both of you this, though. Do you think that today's performance in any way, Stokes was one of those guys that I think people thought was kind of like on the bubble, maybe could make himself a little bit extra money today. Either of you guys think he kind of improved his stock today?
Go ahead, Dane, then I'll take it.
You know, when we talked to Daniel Jeremiah, and that shows previously on this YouTube channel and the podcast channel, he said teams in the league were kind of lobbying back and forth between Tyson Campbell and Eric Stokes, who they would take first. And he said most 60-40 would probably lean toward Campbell. I would actually lean toward Stokes. I think he probably did make himself a little bit of money, but it's mainly because his stats were really solid in these workouts. And when you go look at his tape, I mean, it's unbelievable. And he's going against some of the best receivers in college football for multiple years now. So, he's going to make money. He's going to have a good NFL career.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of today, just the presence that he showed on his the eyeball test. I mean, physical looking kid to go with his speed. And the thing I liked about him throughout his whole interview with the SEC Network, he was smiling, he was happy. You know, you can't beat a good demeanor to go on top of everything as compared to somebody that acts like they're doing you a favor to do an interview or something like that. I mean, the guy seemed genuinely interested and talking to the interviewer, and he was happy. He's a little down on himself about the ball skills, but that's okay. I like to hear somebody talk about, you know, some things they want to work on and all. But, I mean, seriously, three corners now, all three can cover. We're going to talk about the other two coming up here, but let's go and move on. I like this little way we're doing this, and we got good rhythm. Let's don't lose it, man. Let's keep it up.
Let's go.
There's a coach giving us the sideline pep talk there, Jake. The aforementioned Tyson Campbell ran a 4.4 40. Just a great athlete, Coach. We know what he's able to do on film. What did you see from his workout today?
Well, he's got good ball skills, and he's got really good catch-up speed. You know, it's one thing to run straight line and do everything, but to be at an angle and then close on a guy, I've seen him do it time after time in practice. He's got really good hands, and he uses his hands efficiently on the bump and run and the press. The advantage that a guy coming out of here or Alabama or anybody that runs a system where you play a lot of press coverage, I mean, that's what you play in the pros now. You got to play press, and because you can't talk to – I mean, you can't touch a guy after 5 yards up there, so you better press him at the line of scrimmage. So I think Tyson, it's just going to be the right team that wants him. He's going to be close to that borderline, you know, 32 guys. He might not be right at the 32 level, but he'll be – there's not that much difference in first and second round as far as talent. And from his own high school, he's right there with Patrick Surtain. I mean, and he had a good day today and had good skill level, 34-inch vertical jump. He ran the shuttle really well. He got good quickness. And this guy can tackle. He's physical. I mean, he can play the run. So I'm high on Campbell.
Yeah, I like Campbell. I think he's a safe bet as a solid piece, but I think he's also got great upside in the NFL. I think that he's a guy who can be a big reward for a team who decides to go up and maybe take him a little bit higher than maybe what people are expecting, just because of that extra length that he's got. You know, he's a bigger guy, you know, very physical, like you said, and I think has the tools to flourish in the pro game. You know, maybe even more so than the college game. I think that some of the things that he's going to be asked to do there maybe kind of play into his skill set a little bit better in terms of, you know, just the guys that he's going to be tasked with covering in the NFL.
And one thing about him, he did have the turf toe situation, and, you know, he had to come back from that. But I thought that the one little clip that I saw that showed him getting an interception against South Carolina, he showed the competitiveness that the young man has when he was trying to make it all the way. I mean, a lot of guys will just, you know, run out of bounds or all, but he was trying to score a touchdown. I mean, he showed some good ball maneuverability in the open field there, the way he was able to elude people. And that's just a little thing, but, you know, if you're going to intercept one, you might as well take it to the house. Yeah. And he did that against Missouri on that fumble when he was a true freshman.
I would not be upset to see my Falcons take him in the second round. That would be just fine with me. I think that he would be a nice compliment to a guy like AJ Terrell. That's a lot of length and a lot of speed back there in your secondary if you get those two guys together. So fingers crossed.
The third cornerback is DJ Daniel. He ran a 4.47 40. A bit more of a mystery with him, Coach, only because he didn't play as much last season.
Yeah, he had a good first year coming in here. You know, Coach Tucker really wanted him out of JUCO. We didn't know what was going to happen with the younger guys we had, and he came in and played a lot last year. You know, Stokes got hurt. I'm talking about 2 years ago. Stokes got hurt against Notre Dame, and, I mean, he turned it out. And I watch him day-to-day in practice. He's hard to beat. I mean, those guys – try to get around him, and he did a really good job at the Senior Bowl. We talked to Jeremiah about his coverage techniques. And the thing about the Senior Bowl, you got the game, but you got all those practices where they got all those reps, and all those tapes are sent to everybody in the NFL, and they get to watch these guys one-on-one against these good receivers. He can get his hands on you. He can clamp down. He's going to make a team. He might not be drafted that high, but he's going to make a team. He's good on special teams, and he's tough. And he's got a lot of confidence. You know, I mean, it's easy to talk confidently, but to say I'm the best one-on-one cover guy around, I mean, if he feels like that, hey, that's more power to him.
Yeah, you got to love the swagger. I thought that was the coolest thing about DJ Daniels' day. He said, listen, I wouldn't have come out unless I felt like I was going in the first three rounds. He felt like, you know, that's where he belongs in this draft, felt like that was the trade draft he's going to get and got back. So, you know, I applaud him for that, especially in a room full of very talented defensive backs that he was working out with today to say, look, I'm the man guy. Don't worry about these other cats. It's me. I'm leading the way there. You know, I think NFL teams appreciate that swagger. You know, I think probably a guy still that's behind the other two, certainly, but a guy who certainly has a place on an NFL roster when all is said and done.
And here's another example of showing a little grit and going on to the Senior Bowl and taking your shot and letting yourself get exposed. He helped himself immensely at the Senior Bowl. No question. I mean, otherwise, all you got is his junior tape because he didn't play that much this year. So he's going to get a good draft grade.
A guy that I think really improved his stock at Pro Day was Monty Rice, 4.59 40 time. And Georgia has a recent history of pumping linebackers into the NFL. Really, at all rounds, you've got Roquan Smith at the top. Tay Crowder was Mr. Irrelevant, but he played so much with the Giants last season, had a really good first season for them. Coach, Monty Rice, I think, turned some heads at Pro Day.
Yeah, you can't. Like you guys have that show, The Film Don't Lie, The Clock Doesn't Lie. I mean, for this guy to run that way, you know, he's certainly coming off a shoulder injury, but not that serious that required surgery. But he's got that moxie about him, you know, that game-type player that just continually makes the plays in the game. He can lead the defense. They're starving for people up there that can run that fast and play inside and take on the blocks and play the run and the pass. And he's going to be a guy that's taken in the mid rounds. And we've listened to Jeremiah, and I hope our fans enjoyed that. You did a great job moderating that, and I just kind of sat back and listened to Daniel. But I'm telling you, for us to have him give us a one-on-one description of all these guys, and I had some interplay with him today because he was very anxious to hear if anybody listened to our show. He wanted to know exactly what Jeremiah weighed, how tall he was, I'm getting confused with that guy you had at the end of our show when we had that tape on. Aziz weighed and what his wingspan was, and he was glad. And then once he heard his 40 times, he said, "Yikes!" He said that, you know, I think he's going to jump up 5 or 10 places because of that. But I like Monty. I think he'll get a good shot. And it's not just like we like everybody, because we're going to have to talk down a little bit about people, but. We say this, and Jake and I talk about it all the time. You can't win with bums. None of these guys are bum kids. They're good guys, and any team wants you. There's too many things that can happen negatively in an NFL franchise that affects your persona, and you bring in a turd kid. It can screw up the whole place. You know what I mean? You just got to be careful.
Yeah, I think, the big thing about Monty Rice – When he laid that 40 down, he had to be feeling like Jules Winfield's wallet in Pulp Fiction, man. I mean, he had to be feeling like one bad MF-er when that went down, because I think that he really kind of boosted his stock, opened some eyes there. You know, the thing about Monty that you would always hear, and I think is so true of him, is, I mean, he's just a stalwart. The kid's a warrior back there. He's not a guy who missed a lot of snaps. He was out there playing hurt. He played any opportunity he had. He wasn't really concerned, it seemed like, about preserving himself, as we often hear about for the NFL. He's a guy who wanted to go out there and give his all for Georgia. And I think that he certainly reaped the rewards of that today. Happy for Monty. And like you said, Coach, definitely a guy I think can be a role player on an NFL defense for many years to come. If he's able to maintain that kind of speed, he's a guy who can hang around in the league for a long time.
I think one guy that may have turned some heads is Mark Webb. And I'm not saying as a high pick, I don't think he'll be that. But you know, Daniel Jeremiah told us, Coach, that Mark Webb had all the tools to be a really valuable special teams player and maybe find his way into a lineup eventually. But with a 4.5 40 and a 36.5-inch vertical, he just looked smooth on the field to me. It reminded me of how he played for multiple years at Georgia.
Yeah, and the other thing just grabs you attention, 11.7 broad jump. I mean, come on, man. If you just think about 11.7, I mean, that's unbelievable explosiveness to go with his vertical jump. And he's got the hands that, you know, we know he's a highly recruited receiver, and he's a very tough physical guy. You know, one thing about playing the slot as a star guy is that you've got to go in there and usually play against one of the best receivers in the country one-on-one, and you got a lot more field to cover when the guy's in the slot as compared to out on the wide receiver. You know, the guy can run all the way across the field, or he can run a flag route. It just, everything's condensed. He's got more room to cover. I think he's a good enough cover guy to make up for what he lacks in his coverage. He's so strong physically, and he's explosive. And he's physical. I mean, he made himself some money today for sure.
I felt bad for him because he had to be like, I'm not a burner like Tyson and Eric. I mean, the guy runs like a four five, and he's like, it wasn't that great, you know. But I think that Mark, I totally agree with Daniel Jeremiah's assessment of him. That's what he stands out to me as when it comes to an NFL roster. Personally, Coach, you brought up a point that's something I hadn't thought about. Maybe a team will give him a look over at wide receiver once again, you know, after seeing some of that athleticism that he brought with the broad jump, the vert. He's got the hands, like you mentioned. I thought the kid was such a great technician coming out of high school when it came to playing that position. Obviously, he spent a lot of time learning the defensive back position, but he's a guy who's going to bring a lot of versatility to a team, I think. Can play a number of roles, and is going to play anything that you want him to play. He just wants an opportunity to get out there.
Yeah, he's a really good communicator, too. I mean, he can he's a smart, very intelligent guy. And I tell you the thing that impressed me about him, every time I've ever been, even within 10 yards of the kid, he comes over and speaks to me. He doesn't have to do that. I mean, but he's always been very respectful and always goes out of his way. Just like yesterday, I haven't seen him since the bowl game, and he wasn't even playing in that, but he was around here some, and he came all the way across the training room and said, "Coach, how you doing? How you feeling?" Said, "I'm ready to rock tomorrow." You know, I mean, you can't beat that to me. And I'm not going to talk about a guy's ability because of what he told me there, but I'm just saying that adds to it to me. If you got a guy that comes to work every day, is happy and got that kind of attitude instead of trying to beat something out of a guy. I mean, you know, as far as just getting the attitude right, I think his attitude is going to help him a lot up there.
Well, I mean, and to be a guy, I think, who was a top 100 player in the nation at a wide receiver and then convert him over to defensive back, and you didn't hear a peep about it. I mean, it wasn't like there was any consternation on social media about it or his pops talking to the media about it. I mean, it was seemingly a pretty smooth transition. You know, he was willing to do what Georgia wanted him to do and trusted what they had in the process. You got to think that that's something that kind of endears him probably as well moving forward, not only to those coaches, but to franchises as well.
You know, his family ties up in Detroit now, the superstar in the making, DeAndre Swift. I'm just saying DeAndre is probably talking to some guys in Detroit and saying, "Hey, you got that pick out there later in the rounds," or, you know, if he were to be undrafted, I'm sure DeAndre's doing his part to lobby for Mark Webb. One more defender, and that is Richard LeCount, 32-inch vertical, 4.7840. The measurables, probably not quite where he wanted, and he still might have a little bit of recovery from the injuries that he sustained. I'm not so sure the shape that he's in, but Coach Richard LeCount, we know he's going to wow teams with interviews. How do you think he did on the field?
Well, I hurt himself with the time. There's no question about that. And, you know, you got to factor in the fact that he had a, you know, major collision on a motorbike less than 3 months ago. So, you don't expect him to run lights out. But he's got to – somebody's going to take – he lost a little ground today from that standpoint. But he's just got too much good tape for somebody not to take him. And he'll get drafted, but maybe not quite as high as we first thought.
Yeah, you had to feel, I think, a little bit for Richard today because he was one of those guys that it felt like had a lot to had a lot of room to improve his stock, and certainly didn't really do that with that time. Like you said, though, Coach, a lot of good tape behind him, and I think the recommendations that he'll get probably when it comes to people asking around about Richard, pretty much second to none. You know, I got no inside knowledge of where he's going to go, but strikes me as one of those guys that, like, a guy like Bill Belichick loves to have on a team, just a good piece, a guy who's going to get out there and do everything that you ask him to do and lead the right way.
Yeah, and one thing, you know, you look into J.R. Reed last year, everybody – you know, he had all this tape and all, but not the great times. But there's a lot to be said about being coached by, Kirby Smart or whoever it might be, Mel Tucker, Warren. You just know that these guys are going to have good technique, good knowledge of the game, able to study tape, able to transform that to the field and play multiple coverages. And then Richard, as a quarterback of the defense, can get you into all that. So you look at Reed, things didn't work out for him with the Jaguars, but he ended up playing with the Rams. So, I mean, there's a place for LeCount. And, you know, we just got to feel like when his body gets back to normal, all the things that happened to him with that injury of being knocked off that motorbike, I mean, he'll be okay, but it just, you hate it for him because he starting out, he's probably not going to be as high as we'd hoped.
Richard LeCount, a guy that wears Liberty County on his sleeve. And if you're in Liberty County, Long County, Bryan County, anywhere in Southeast Georgia, you need to call up our friends at DR Construction and Maintenance. That's Ronnie Brown, longtime fan of UGASports.com. Just loves everything that we're doing around here. And if you got projects around your house or your property, you know that can get a little perilous if you're doing it yourself. Get DR Construction and Maintenance involved to make sure that it's going to be done the right way. They'll be happy to talk to you about your project and make sure you've got the right materials for that. Also want to give a shout out to Athens Ford because I pass their lot every time on Atlanta Highway on my way home on my work commute. And man, their cars are shining out there on the lot. And it's a really good time this time of year to maybe go check it out. These STEMIs, as people are calling them, stimulus checks. If you want to put a good down payment on a car, go check out Athens Ford. You know, they have a student discount. They have a military discount that they'll be happy to offer. And that lifetime powertrain warranty, you just can't beat it. Athens Ford is the number one Ford certified pre-owned dealer in Georgia. And I know we say it every week, but you just can't get better customer service than they have out there. If you want to do a zoom.
Good, Dane. That was good.
You like that? I've heard Roddy say it once or twice.
You're going to have to jack Roddy's responsibilities.
Yeah, he doesn't need fewer responsibilities. I think he can keep it. Let's move over to the offensive side of the ball, guys. And I want to start with Ben Cleveland, because if you would have told me the morning before Pro Day that we would be talking about his 40 time more than his bench press, I would have said, what happened? Because it's a world shifting. He ended up with 30 on the bench press. There were rumors that maybe 50 was in the future. Obviously, that didn't happen. But a 4.85 40 time, Coach.
Yeah, I think the one thing about Ben is everybody – kind of knew that he was so strong that we were looking, and I even mentioned that he was going for it because that's what I heard. But it doesn't really matter what he didn't do. It's what he was able to do with his feet, because we know if he just walks around out there, you know the guy's strong. And
he walked around shirtless too. He was one of those guys showing off the body.
He did a little shirtless drill there, but he thought they might be squirrel hunting out there or something. He loves to go out and squirrel hunt and do all kind of hunting. But I think the main thing for Ben is footwork. And we talked about it on our podcast throughout the year. He helped himself on the draft coming back and playing this year. And his consistent grade week in and week out, playing against guys head up on him and not really doing anything but doing the job every week, the most consistently graded player on the team on the offensive line. And he has got the leverage that you need to come off and block people one-on-one, but he's got enough quickness to pass protect, and he's got the long arms on top of it. Just like we say, there's not many guys 6'6" and a half, 350, that can run like that. So if he had been in a combine today, there would have been people at St. Elmo's eating some more shrimp tonight talking about that guy.
I wish I were in St. Elmo's eating some shrimp tonight. I think that I do have to ask you this, though, about Ben, Coach, because I've been thinking about this all day. Do you think that all of the hype around the 50 and then for him to come up as short as he did, do you think that that's weighing on anybody's mind?
I don't think so. I mean, those guys, they don't worry about the number of reps unless it's just not enough of them. You know, if a guy, a big lineman, can't lift 225 but 12 times or something like that. You know, the guy that I know that people worried about at Oklahoma, that Brown kid that, didn't do that many bench presses, and he's played three straight, maybe four straight years in at left tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. But you're not going to lift weights out there on Sunday afternoon. You're going to have to play. And I feel like this whole year has been good for Ben. He's very confident, and he's going to make a club and being among the many guys that all of a sudden that the University of Georgia is putting in a NFL as O lineman. You look at the guys that are starting up there now, and the one guy that hadn't turned out as good as we hoped, hopefully he'll be able to now with getting the trade. You know, we'll see what Wilson does going down there, and maybe getting with Kinley, maybe it'll help him a little bit.
I did want to ask you also on Ben, Coach, when it comes to a 40 time for an offensive lineman, like I know that was a big deal. Everybody made a lot of talk about it, but you know, how impactful is something like that when you're trying to grade a guy who, probably isn't going to be going up the field 40 yards at a time very often.
They get the 20 yard split too. And I didn't see that one. Did you see that Dane where he ran the 20 in? But they, yeah, they give you a split. That's the one that's most important for an old lineman. But it shows you the 40 that if you can break 5 seconds in the 40 at over 300 pounds, I mean, you've got the explosive ability to be a big time. I don't even know what his vertical jump. Does anybody show what that was? Or
I didn't see that.
Let's see. No, I don't believe we got that one. I didn't see it.
I always felt like if you can run and you can jump, as long as you got a little bit of you don't need a – if you're not a coward, you got a really good chance.
Yeah, I think you know what's so sad for me, honestly, is I'm really happy for Ben because I do think that he had a great day and you know, is destined for big things. But I've literally never worked this job without covering Ben Cleveland. As long as I've been doing this, he's either been on my radar as a recruit or he's been on the roster. So
maybe he'll go to the Falcons.
Hey, that would be great. That would be great. I'd love to see that.
Rest assured that Julian Rochester is still here for you.
That's true. Just weird not to be thinking about Big Country next year. But you know, love Ben, love his family. Kudos to him. Best wishes, and a guy that I think, you know, if it doesn't matter if the NFL doesn't work out because Vince McMahon is waiting around the corner to bring that boy in and teach him how to power bomb somebody.
The guy to Ben Cleveland's left, Trey Hill. Coach, there were a lot of concerns with him with his lateral agility. Did you see anything that maybe could ease some of those worries?
I wanted to see his what his time was in the shuttle, but we didn't get a lot of those out there today. They might be coming out later, but you know, the thing that's going to help him is ability to snap, ability to play guard and center. And his intelligent level. I mean, you know, 3 years graduating from University of Georgia. I mean, just unheard of. So don't have enough raw data. I did ask Matt Luke because of that. I just texted him, and he said that he helped himself today. So I got to feel like that Matt wouldn't BS me on that.
Yeah, Trey, I don't know. One of the guys I think that surprised a few people by deciding to go out this year. I think he could have probably helped himself immensely with another year. But at the same time, hey, it's a personal decision. I get that. Like you said, Coach, already graduated. If you want to test those waters, go do it. But be interesting to see how the draft goes for Trey Hill.
Last offensive player for Georgia, Trey McKitty, Coach.
You know, Trey decided today for some reason not to test. A lot of times, you know, you might have a pull muscle or whatever it might be, but he didn't test. But Coach Hartley said he did the ball drills extremely well. And if I'm an NFL scout watching that guy, I would be impressed at a tight end that has the body carriage that he has and the length that he has and the hand placement and his ability to run routes. I mean, he's smooth on the routes, and he's going to have a chance to make an NFL team. And he helped himself immensely coming from a team that threw the ball almost all the time and were behind so much when he was at Florida State with the way he developed as a blocker here under Coach Hartley. And he really did a good job in our 12 personnel, two tight ends, and he and Washington together and Fitzpatrick just did a really good job blocking on the edge for us. So I like McKitty, and Jeremiah said he did a good job at the Senior Bowl too.
Yeah, he had a big Senior Bowl. But like you said, I think the biggest thing for him was this decision to come to Georgia. And I think that probably makes it an even more attractive opportunity for graduate transfers to see a guy like that. I mean, coming out of FSU, the reports were not strong. I mean, people were telling us, you know, this kid, you know, maybe a bust compared to the ranking, came in and performed really solidly for the Dogs this year. I think that that's got to be intriguing to NFL teams to think maybe this kid's potential is not really maxed out yet.
Yeah, that's a good point too, and I'm don't want to steal your thunder, but the point is, if I'm a player and I'm driven to make it to the NFL, and I'm willing to sacrifice catching the ball, knowing I'm not going to get that many catches, but I want to develop and play in a system and go against a defense every day that's going to make me better as compared to FSU's, who's still struggling right now, shows a little sacrifice, a little personal ability to understand what he needs to do and put himself in a position to be more draftable. And so I like that part too. I mean, he wanted to be on a winning team, and it takes all kinds to be on a team. You got to give up a little bit. And he did a good job with that.
Agreed.
I quickly want to mention, too, there were a couple of former players that did get a chance in front of scouts. We saw Kendall Baker, a former offensive lineman, David Marshall from the defensive line, Tyler Simmons, who had actually had some procedures done in Athens, I've learned, a little bit of recovery. And, you know, he had a pretty good year on special teams in the NFL, bouncing around to a couple of spots. Coach, is that pretty common to see some former players? I know that Kirby Smart keeps a good relationship with the former players, but to give them that stage, I thought was pretty cool.
Well, I thought it was great. And if you just look at it, they had that taken away from them last year. Several of them got to go to the combine, but the pro day was, they weren't able to experience it. So we know Marshall was hurt some too. So they, you know, not only do you have the NFL people looking at these, you got the Canadian Football League. You got this new league coming out with The Rock and all those guys. I don't know when that's going to happen, but Simmons has got the speed to help you. Marshall who was the other one that got hurt?
Kendall Baker.
And Kendall Baker. You just see what happens, but it just goes to show you Coach Smart's all behind these kids every year. Whatever it takes to help them out. That's the way it should be.
I heard you were going to be coaching in that league with The Rock.
Yeah, he's talked to me about it. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to make that move because I'd have to give up being on his show, and I can't do that.
Well, we appreciate that dedication, Coach. And one thing I know is that when it comes to celebrating, Academia Brewing Company is dedicated to celebrations. We're recording this on St. Patrick's Day, and Jake, I'm looking at their Instagram right now. You need to go read about these special St. Patrick's Day beers that they have on tap at Academia Brewing Company. We've got the Cloverhurst, which is an Irish red ale. We've got Magic Rest, which would be up my alley, a dry Irish stout, aromas of baker's chocolate and fresh roasted coffee. Oh, man. You can go get some pictures of these on their Instagram, but go check out Academia Brewing Company on Atlanta Highway, and they've got great food there. They have chefs in-house, a big space so you can space out and feel good that you're being safe with any kind of COVID protocols. Go check out some of their St. Patrick's beers that they'll have on tap, and then plenty of others. Do you have a favorite there, Jake?
It's tough for me to pick, to be honest with you, and I'm not this way everywhere, but their sours are absolutely fantastic. So I'm more of an IPA guy normally, but they make a great sour out there at Academia.
And while you're checking out menus online, make sure you're following Classic City Eats as they are finishing their process to moving to Oconee County, normally the host site of UGA Sports Live. So go check out what they're doing at Classic City Eats as they make their move into Oconee County.
Tell us about your pie, too.
Oh, man. Tell you about your pie. So, you know, they've got this bigger pizza now. They had their classic size that they've had for all these years. But if you go to one of their, I think it's 70 plus locations now, really all over the nation, especially in the Southeast, there's a Your Pie near you, and you need to go check it out. Pie Day just happened. And so if you were paying attention to our show, you got Your Pie for $3.14 for Pie Day. And maybe you can sweet talk them and still get into that deal a little bit. Support what Your Pie is doing with Drew and Natalie French. They're big supporters of UGASports.com. Proud Georgia grads, which, and just great people all around. I used to do some of the public relations for Your Pie. So sweet spot in my heart for Drew and Natalie French. Their headquarters is right off Millage Avenue, so they can't be more UGA than where they are at Your Pie. I want to move on to some of the spring football because that is now underway at Georgia. And there is Coach, you said something a couple of weeks ago might happen, and I'm curious if you've gotten any information on any, I don't want to say full position changes, but are any guys moving around the field a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when it's going to come out, but they certainly are looking at a lot of different guys playing different positions just because they need help in the secondary. And I know that Carroll is a guy that they're looking at. And from what I understand, he played over there at least some yesterday at corner. So that's one guy. And then the other guy that can play, if you just look at our defense, the base defense doesn't sub in for somebody. So the star guy, if you had regular personnel in the game, would be a guy that would line up on the line of scrimmage like a defensive end, like Anderson can. But if they go to a slot and three wide receivers, then he has to move off the ball. So normally you take that guy out and put in a defensive back, but we've seen with Leonard Floyd and people like that have played the star. Anderson would be a guy that we might look at doing that because he's got so much speed to go with his size, and he can play the run and can play pretty good underneath if it's a running down. So I think they'd probably look at him some at that just because of that. And then I haven't really heard about anybody else, but Carroll just got that jet speed. I mean, he's got so much speed. And as far as just other things that I've heard off the cuff is that Brock Bowers is just the real deal speed-wise, weight room warrior, a guy that first in line and everything. Couldn't be happier with his way he's moving around and what he's doing. And, you know, other than that, I don't have any really gems for you, but I'm not too much into breaking out too many things because Roddy always does that, but I don't want to steal his thunder. But
you are a gem.
Jim Donnan to the rescue, man. I just feel like going into spring, I'm just so happy for the kids that they're going to be able to benefit from being coached and not have to put the pressure on them, you know, to go ahead and try to play a season without spring and fall and, I mean, summer camp and all that. So it's hard enough to win, but, you know, to go out there and not have installed your system and all that, I just feel like we'll be a lot better team because of having spring and getting used to each other. I mean, we lost one coach, but we got a new guy in here, and I feel like adding Muschamp is going to help our defense too, just because you got a different guy experience-wise to help you, you know, one more set of eyes. So I think our team's going to be really good.
I wanted to throw this quote at both of you to get your reaction. This one from Jamardi Sawyer. He says, that kid, you talk about someone who protects better than anybody I've ever seen before. He's one of those people who's just got it. He's got to work on some small things. He needs to stay in the weight room and keep grinding, get the playbook down, but he's got what it takes to be a great offensive lineman. Speaking about former five-star number one offensive tackle last year, Broderick Jones there. Some strong words, I think, for a stalwart up there on the front for the Bulldogs. Coach, you know, what's your reaction when you hear one of your vets say that about a young guy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Kirby's probably jumped his ass about talking. You don't want to put any extra squeeze on him. But, you know, like I said, I was over there yesterday. I didn't stick around for practice, but I just kind of sneaked my head in there when they were stretching just to look at them. And I'm just going to tell you, those old linemen pass the eyeball test. I mean, you're talking about big, strong physical. We're not even talking about Mims or Willock. I told you about Willock last fall. I'm telling you about him over Christmas. I'm telling you January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Willock, watch him. That guy's going to do something for us. Watch him.
I think people don't understand how large of a human being he is. He's massive, a physical freak. I love
the thing about him is Mims makes him look like Mighty Mouse.
I love Sawyer with that. He said, some guys just come out of the womb 6'8", and Demaryius Mims is one of those guys, and he sure looked like that to me.
I can tell you this, we might not see Sawyer ever again on a media availability, but I think Sawyer was great. I mean, just tell it like it is. I enjoyed listening to him. He was awesome. All those guys, and Lewis Seen, he wasn't going to take those guys trying to say, "Hey, well, the offense is ahead of the offense in the head of us." You know, I like that.
I love how Lewis it really contemplates his answers. Like he sits there and he thinks about it. He's not going to tell you anything that's false or wrong. He's going to give you an intelligence response back. But
another guy that kind of like Stokes that wasn't that highly recruited, right?
Who, Seen?
No, I'm talking about we never heard a whole lot about him till the end, did we? Were we with him all the way?
Well, yeah, it was kind of a really kind of weird, interesting recruitment. I mean,
moved from someplace out to Texas.
Yeah. What people forget about him is that he moved from like Massachusetts out to Texas and played under Deion Sanders out there at Trinity Christian. So I think that people weren't really that confident that it was going to happen, for Georgia, but ended up, what a pickup that's ended up being for them. A kid that's just, I love how he plays the game.
Yeah, and there's a great example of having these analysts like Muschamp or, in this case, Tyson Summers, that are, have a defensive background, and they get to look at these tapes and tell the coaches about them beside the coaches. And I think Tyson told them, they looked at that kid up there in Massachusetts and then got rolling on him, and they recruited the heck out of him.
Yep, no doubt about it.
That guy brings
– Lewis
– brings the heat, man.
One thing about Lewis Seen that's, I think, going to help him in NFL conversations, he's a really cultured guy. And I think that's because he's lived in multiple places. I know one of the professors that taught him on campus, and, he was recruited in Texas, but he spent a lot of his time growing up in the Northeast. And so to have lived there in Texas and now in Georgia, I mean, he's got quite a story. And I think you'll see this with a lot of the guys that come from out West and come to Georgia too, where you just learn how to deal with people from all different walks of life. And that's one of the things that happens in college. If you want to see those interviews with Jamari Salyer, Lewis Seen, and Jake Camarda, with the player availabilities, they're on our UGA Sports YouTube channel. You can go check them out and see what we are talking about there. Jake, I want to get to two things with you. One, and you can choose which order. We've got questions if you want to toss those in there, but also you were on some early and late flights to Texas, and I'd like to get some recaps of what you saw down there in the recruiting world.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll just do a quick recap on Dallas real quick, and then we'll hit some questions to wrap things up. Yeah, thanks a lot to Roddy for sending me on a 22-hour just hell excursion to Dallas. Got to go out there on daylight savings time change, so lost a whole hour of sleep. That was great. Left the house at 3:30, caught the 6:25 out to Dallas, grabbed the rental car, drove straight to Under Armour camp, stood in the rain, watched the Under Armour camp, drove straight back to the rental car place, hopped the plane, got home at 11:45 that night. So it's about 22 hours. That was it was a nasty little stretch, but I'm glad we went, because we got to see some really good talent out there. Georgia, they've clearly established themselves with that national brand. We talk about that all the time, but you're hearing it more so in Texas than you have in previous years. Had a chance to meet Bear Alexander, Georgia's highest rated commit, the five-star kid, number 4 player in the nation. Got to meet him for the first time, was very, very impressed with that young man. When you have a chance to speak to him in person, just a really sharp kid, very savvy when it comes to his answers. Not just a guy who's coming off the cuff with everything. He's thinking about what he's saying. And, I had a chance to ask him about some of the rumors that are out there. I know that a lot of Georgia fans are concerned that this is a kid that will be hard to keep, as part of this class. Texas A&M obviously wants a big piece of him. Clemson is another team he's visited. Of course, they would take his commitment. But, I had a chance to ask him about that. And I said, can you calm some of these nerves when it comes to Georgia fan questions? And he said, I've been to Georgia. I've been to very few other schools. He's only ever been to Clemson otherwise when it comes to visits. He's locked in with Trey Scott. I mean, Trey Scott and his guardian, Tony Jones, they're communicating constantly. They're super close. The thing that I thought was great, too, if you're a Georgia fan, is to see him out there. He came in his Georgia gear. He put on the UA gear. As soon as UA camp was done, he tore that off and put his Georgia gear back on. And he did not waste a lot of time not repping the G out there. So, makes it pretty clear where his allegiances lie. So, I think that's got to be impactful. A couple notes on a couple receivers.
I want to interrupt you. One thing that I've heard about the kid, massive, but he really isn't that tall, is he?
No, he's really not. I think that there's probably this perception that with given the nickname Bear, that he's some sort of Amarius Mims type person. But, I'd say that he's probably more in that 6'2.5" range than he is closer to 6'4". Probably training on the smaller side of that even. But said, he wants to play. I think he's at about 325 now. Said he wants to get down to about 305. And said that's where Georgia's hoping to see him play weight-wise. So, I think can be an impact maker for Georgia kind of off the jump. They're selling him on the opportunity to kind of come in and play with the loss of Jordan Davis after this season, you know, some early opportunity up front, they think, for him, and a kid who can just be a wrecker back there for you. So I like the kid. I like what he had to say. We'll have a story coming with him tomorrow on UGASports.com, a little Q&A that we did with him. And we got plenty more when it comes to him as well. But a couple quick notes on a couple other players, a couple receivers out there. Evan Stewart, a Rivals 100 player out of Texas, a former Texas commit, was only committed to the Longhorns for about a month. Told me that basically as soon as he announced his decommitment, Cortez Hankton reached out and said, "Hey, buddy, are you ready to come home?" He said Georgia never relented in the pursuit. Going to be interesting to watch that one. He said Athens definitely on his visit list. This is a big bodied kid, a lot of speed. So Evan Stewart, a name to keep on your radar moving forward, would be a really massive pickup when it came to the wide receiver room. Jay Fair, another guy over there that is really kind of gaining some steam out in Texas. Feels like his profile is really picking up, offers rolling in. Georgia among his top five options. So Jay Fair, another name to keep on your list. I've been recovering since arriving back, and we've had spring practice and pro day. So we haven't had all the stuff posted yet, but trust me, there's plenty coming. And we got Under Armour camp in Atlanta this weekend as well. Plenty more where that came from. Coach, yeah. I want to hit you on a couple.
Let me pause real fast, Jake, and mention, you know, I'm giving you time to get the questions together that we want to ask Coach. But I do want to give a shout out to Aaron Overhead Doors. They're based in Buford and Milton, and more than a garage door repair company, they're a customer service company. They've got more than 1,500 five-star reviews. I think 800 of those are through Google, which is so hard to keep that kind of reputation. One thing I really like about Aaron Overhead Doors, whatever way you want to contact them and get in touch and see what they can do to fix all your garage door, overhead door needs, you can call them, you can text them, you can schedule online, you can email. There's no reason not to feel good about contacting them and know that you're going to get someone contacting you back very quickly if it's an emergency situation or if it's just an idea you have for your home. Check out Aaron Overhead Doors, their website, aaronoverheaddoors.com. All right, Jake, let's get to those listener questions.
Discount too, don't you?
All you have to do is say that you're a Georgia fan. You can lie about it if you want to. They'll take that and give you 10% off. But especially
like a picture of you and post it for your family to see on Facebook. We don't know, but
well, they'll give you the 10% regardless. All you have to say is that you're a Georgia fan.
All right. We touched on most of the questions today. So good job there. I always think that's a great sign of a show when we got our finger on the pulse of what people want to know. But I did like this question, and I'm going to throw this one to you, Coach, because a lot was made out of Drayshon Miller. We talked a lot about him as a potential guy in the portal. A lot of people were asking questions about him. Jamel Adai obviously coached him in West Virginia. He ends up at Auburn, and one of the things that we talked about was that his speed wasn't really a great fit for what Georgia did defensively. So this one from Dog of Ages. This is our only question for the day. He says, what do you think are the top three criteria that a transfer player must have in order to get an offer from Kirby Smart?
Oh, me. Top three? You know, first of all, it's got to be position specific.
Sure.
I mean, you got to have that because there's got to be a need there. So I'd say you got to be a need for the position. Then you got to have the tape that shows that you have the skill level. And then the third thing would be usurped by the character and kind of kid you are. So you add all three of those. You can't bring a guy in that's going to bring problems into your program. You got enough stuff going on that you got to – we don't have that many off-the-field issues, but you can always – bring in trouble trying to bring in ability, but there's also guys that need a second chance and might that you had in camp and you know what they can do. And they went to a school and didn't have that great a career, but you can bring them back. But personal knowledge helps you a lot about knowing about a kid and talking to other coaches and all that, but I can't really get it down to three, but the guy better be pretty dang good to come in here and play, because you don't want somebody. I always remember back when I was a young coach, guy said, hey, those junior college guys look good, but, you know, there's a reason they're in junior college. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, grades or something like that. So you don't want to bring in a guy that's not going to start for you, because all you're going to do is have a little bitterness there. So
I thought Jamori Sawyer actually kind of answered that question in his news conference earlier in the week, because what he was saying is fans see what happens on Saturdays during the games, or maybe they get to hear from players every so often or see a social media video. But what they don't see are those 8 a.m. workouts or those 7 a.m. wake ups or the nutrition checks or the weightlifting, all the different things that you have to do and that you don't want to do sometimes. It's natural to have that fatigue, but if you're mentally strong enough and dedicated enough to do what you have to do to play football at Georgia, you overcome that. And I think that that's kind of what Coach is saying, that character comes involved in who's going to be there when they don't want to be there in that moment and get over that and then still be prepared for Saturday.
Not riding a bull seat, obviously.
Hey, I have a stat of the day that I put on Twitter related to Pro Day. I think we can wrap the show with that if y'all are interested in this, because I thought it was kind of funny. So Ben Cleveland did run a 4.85 40 time, faster than Isaac Nauta's 40 time. And if I'm Ben Cleveland, I am texting Isaac Nauta every day for the next year and saying, I can run faster than you.
I would like to see it too. I'd like to
see it. For the day he did, but Nauta didn't test that great, but he can run. I mean, that's a really good thing to compare, though. I mean, it's just 40 times are hard to really gauge and look at what's going to happen. But I think the best thing about today was we had it, you know. I mean, just to have it and be as normal as you could. There's still guys walking around with masks and social distancing and all that, but it was great to have it.
I was kind of curious why Ben Cleveland never had a tight end package if he can run like that. I
mean, shout out to our guy, Isaac Nauta. Dane may hate you, but we love you, Isaac. So,
oh, God, that wasn't hate. just a little ribbing.
That's a good little Twitter deal there. But
yeah.
So I think we covered this pretty good tonight, and looking forward to next week. We'll have a show on Tuesday and
a ton of recruiting next week.
Kind of combination of what's happened in practice this week, and hopefully the kids can get through the next couple of days and then start putting on the pads and seeing what can happen. But I also liked what Kirby said today in closing, was that from a defensive perspective, he feels like going against the offense all spring is kind of like, you know, what he needs to be challenged, to see how these guys are going to go against frontline guys, because they're not going to see anybody much better than what they're going to go against out there every day. So that competition against each other will be really huge.
No doubt.
Once again, thank you to Aaron Overhead Doors, Your Pie, Academia Brewing Company, Classic City Eats, Athens Ford, and DR Construction and Maintenance. We could not do UGA Sports Live without your support, and obviously the support of everyone that is a subscriber to UGASports.com and the Dog Vent. For Jake Roos and Jim Donnan, I am Dane Young. UGA Sports Live will be back at our regular time Tuesday at noon next week. We will chat with you then. Have a great week.